You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. I am Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com. Joining me today, he's one of my favorite guests to have on the show. He is Mike Zavgano from FearTheSword.com. Mike, how are you?
I'm all right. Sad to be making my return on such a dismal Cavs performance, but always happy to be on the show. So I appreciate you having me, and I'm glad that you've almost all gotten over the flu and they're feeling better now.
Yeah, the listeners that want a slight peek into why there was another swipe break this week, I have gotten the flu twice. I hope I do not get it a third time. And originally, Mike and I were going to do a deep dive, and we're still going to do it next week. So this is a show I think we have to do, and it's probably overdue. But next week, you'll get a show with Mike and I diving into Jay Crowder, J.R. Smith, and Tristan Thompson, these three role players that I think will have a lot of implication on what this Cavs team does moving forward. And I think they've all had disappointing seasons in different ways, especially I think Crowder and JR. We're going to get into them deep next week, but we're here to talk about Cavs Raptors. 133-99 is the final from Toronto. The Cavs do play tomorrow in Indiana. We'll have a recap on that game on Saturday. But this game, Mike, got away from the Cavs early. A 6-point deficit in the first quarter. The Raptors felt that the Cavs looked dead coming out of the gate. And then the second quarter, it's a 35-16 Toronto advantage. And once that happened, the Cavs outscored by 3 in the third. LeBron doesn't play in the fourth quarter. They cede the game at that point. Is there anything in this game that you can say that there was a positive? Is there anything about this game that you're like, this wasn't a total disaster? Or was this just another dismal Cavs performance as they've mogged through a bad January?
It's hard to say that, you know, everything was horrible. But almost everything was pretty horrible. Maybe a little bit in his first stint, I thought that Tristan Thompson did well on the offensive glass. In the first half, he ended up with 6 offensive rebounds. Really, aside from that, everything kind of looks pretty bleak.
I think the only guy who I feel like has played well is LeBron James, and I think that just kind of is a given. I think even though he didn't have a great rebounding night and only had 1 assist against 2 turnovers, which is very weird for him to even on that small of a scale not have the positive assist to turnover ratio, he still looks very energetic, and you see him like the how Toronto could not handle him inside. That's just very clear that the Cavs are going to have an advantage against almost every team in that regard because of what LeBron's doing. He's still shooting well from the free throw line, and LeBron is not like the issue. I think his defensive effort has been abysmal, and I don't think that it can go with, like, unnoticed and unchecked. I think he is a part of their defensive issues without question. But I think there's just a lot of other things in this game that are end up being the issue. And I think the big one for me that has been a disappointment in the last two games has to be, I think, Isaiah Thomas. And I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt as he's coming back from a hip injury, and he's talked about not being in rhythm. And I think maybe his first two appearances set the bar pretty high, considering he was almost averaging a point a minute those first two games. But against Toronto, 2 of 15, doesn't make a 3, 3 assists, 1 turnover, and a plus minus of -20 and a 4-point performance. Really outplayed by everyone he went up against in this game, and he just doesn't look right yet. And I think that's fine, but I also think, considering how he looked the first two games and the hype around him, I think this is a bit of a bummer. And it's when he wasn't playing well to make up for Wade not playing well and Love not playing well, I think it just makes everything much worse that you have this guy that should be that, and he's not there yet.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, part of it too is LeBron certainly looks to be deferring to Isaiah Thomas, both in this game and as well as the other two games that Isaiah has started, to try to get Isaiah in that rhythm. And so, you know, when Isaiah is missing a bunch of shots and not being able to kind of get into the flow of things, then you don't see as much LeBron early as you may want to see. And, you know, by the time that he's starting to assert himself, the game's getting close to being out of hand. You know, as you said, he missed almost all of his shots tonight. He was short on most of them. It didn't really look like he had much legs under him. He's really struggled to get any separation in the lane. I thought that that was one of his best skills last year with Boston, was his ability to kind of finish through guys much bigger than him. He was able to kind of create a lot of separation. He doesn't really look explosive right now or quick. I think that he's probably out of shape, which isn't really surprising given his injury. He's obviously, trying to shoot himself into shape, trying to play himself into shape. And, he's really struggled the last two games. And like you said, I think that that's fine. I don't really think that that's a concern in the long term whatsoever. I am a bit concerned about him defensively in the long term, both in transition and just with how the Cavs guard the pick and roll. When he is the tag guy or kind of, playing the coverage where he's going to be the guy who's guarding the weak side and is going to help on the roller, guys basically treat him like he's not even there and they're just shooting right over him. So I do think that there is some long-term issue there. But in terms of his offense, it's obviously difficult to watch right now, but I don't really think that it'll be a problem when we're talking about him in April.
Agree with what you're saying about LeBron deferring to him. In your mind, is it a mistake that LeBron is ceding that much to him? Because it does look a little bit forced, and I think Love maybe doesn't benefit from this either because he hasn't looked to be in a rhythm. And I think that you can see LeBron at times in this game was directing traffic and trying to guys to get the ball. And there's a couple instances where Kevin Love got the ball. And I think earlier this season, he might have just attacked, even if it was from the elbow. But you had guys pointing to him and Lou pointing to him to go run a play with Isaiah and run a pick and roll with Isaiah. So I wonder, I don't know how much we can say that is causing some of these offensive issues for a team that has and should be a very good offense. It is their best attribute when they're healthy and everything is clicking. That's what they should be. But I think you're seeing some of that especially when it's LeBron deferring. And we know this, he's the engine of everything they do. When that guy has to defer, everyone else is going to kind of feel the residual effects of that.
Yeah, I think that you make a salient point there, especially talking about Kevin Love. Throughout his time in Cleveland, everybody is quite aware of the fact that Kevin Love is first quarter Kevin Love, in that the Cavs really look to get him going from jump street, and that's the guy that they want to get the ball to early and often in games. And, with Isaiah Thomas back in the lineup, it seems as if some of those responsibilities, or almost all of them, have really gone to getting Isaiah Thomas involved rather than Kevin Love. And now, not only is Isaiah Thomas missing shots, but you're seeing these lackluster performances from Kevin Love. Tonight he was 2 of 8 from the field, only 10 points, 9 rebounds. And he shot under 40%, and now on the season, the Cavs are only 2-10 when he shoots under 40% from the field. 15 losses on the year, 10 of them have come when Kevin Love has shot under 40% from the field. So you do see kind of some push and pull going on with the fact that, Kevin Love isn't getting some of those early touches. He's not in a rhythm. Isaiah's not really been able to shoot himself into a rhythm. And then LeBron's not coming with that hammer until, later in the first quarter or maybe even in the second quarter. And so things are kind of a little bit out of whack right now. But, you kind of have to live with it just because this team, they've never played together before. It's going to be a learning process and a growing process. This might not be the starting lineup by the end of the season. So there's going to be even, more experimentation and more growth going on. So I'm not sure that I disagree with the idea of trying to get Isaiah Thomas involved early in games, but you can definitely see the residual and downstream effects that it's having on both Kevin Love, LeBron, and then just really the rest of the offense.
I think it's worth noting that Isaiah Thomas is just not Kyrie Irving. And I know that's obvious, but if you just even look at how they break down in terms of what they do on the court, they're just not the same player. Kyrie, I think, even though Isaiah was great in isolation last year, I think he's not as defined by it as much. He moves really well off ball. He cuts really well. He does a lot of the different stuff than Kyrie was asked to do last year. It's not saying that Kyrie isn't capable of that. I think he's proven that he's capable of that. But I think Isaiah just was naturally at his best last year. It's different, and this is probably an adjustment for him too. If he was the man last year in Boston in so many ways because they didn't have Al Horford, but Al Horford is a perfect complimentary guy in so many ways. And LeBron James is not that, and Kevin Love can be that, but he also was in a big groove to start the year, and I think that is so much of it. With what else with on the team right now, you also get a 2 of 8 night from Dwayne Wade. Kyle Korver is only 2 of 6, and that does include kind of a crazy three he took. But the team didn't make any threes. You had J.R. Smith 0 of 2, Jay Crowder only 1 of 2. Love only took one and was 0 of 1, which is odd. And LeBron was 0 of 1, and Channing Frye hit 2. But this team's not hitting threes, and I think, you know, I don't, the spacing issue. Someone will have to see how Isaiah impacts it over long term. But I think that maybe it's a little easier to defend this team this year because there's just not quite as much spacing in some regards, especially when guys like J.R. and guys like Crowder aren't hitting.
Yeah, the Cavs, I looked this up over the last four games, are 57 of 212 outside of the restricted area. So that comes out at about 27%. Obviously, they're 1-3 in those games. You know, tonight really struggled. They're only 11 of 57 outside the restricted area. And then, you know, you have another horrible shooting game against Minnesota, where the Cavs were just 9 of 38 outside the restricted area. So, you know, especially you can see with this team when they're not giving effort consistently, that when they start to miss shots is where the effort really starts to wane. That obviously allows teams to get out and transition against them. But you can just kind of see the collective energy of the team really decline when they're missing those shots. And, you know, you have a guy, J.R. Smith, he was held scoreless tonight for the first time all season. And he's only not made a three-pointer in 7 games this year. So this is 1 of 7 games where he hasn't made a three. And, you know, just stuff like that, it really does have these large negative effects for the team. And, you know, Kyle Korver only played 6 first half minutes. When you're struggling to shoot, you might like to see a little bit more from him. Even if he's not going to be making the threes, as you talked about, his spacing effect is going to be large. Channing Frye was in there for a little bit, and he really didn't do much of anything. So just a couple tough shooting nights in a row, and really a tough shooting stretch for the Cavs. It seems like almost every guy is in a shooting slump right now.
What are there any adjustments you would make if you were Ty Lue right now to combat some of this? They do. So if you look at this, just the schedule real quick, you do have Indiana tomorrow, that and Isaiah isn't expected to play. Golden State Monday,
right?
And you get Orlando next week, so you get a slightly easier game. And they're going to be back home next week, which I think is going to. I think they need some time at home. They've kind of been running around since Christmas. I think that's certainly kind of worth noting there as well. But this hasn't been an easy month, and they still have OKC next week, San Antonio the week after, and Detroit twice in 3 days at the end of the month. There's some big games coming up, and I think this team has to do something better. Like, I don't think it's going to be good if they keep spiraling like this. What are some things you'd like to see Ty Lue adjust as we head through the rest of January?
I think my biggest thing on the defensive end is just changing how they guard the pick and roll. I've really been frustrated with their high heads throwing two guys at the ball scheme. I know that they're basically selling out to stop ball handlers from scoring in the pick and roll, but it does create, you know, either the situations that I talked about earlier where guys like Isaiah Thomas are ending up against roll men, and that's been a struggle. It also is pulling the Cavs' bigs away from the offensive glass, and that's allowing opposing bigs to really have an impact on the glass. Toronto rebounded 40.4% of their misses tonight, 18 offensive rebounds in total. They out-rebounded the Cavs 63-35. And I think that a lot of that is because of their pick and roll coverage, both creating, you know, those open shots, whether it's the roll man or corner threes, but pulling guys like Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson away from the rim. I think that that's been one of the things I've been most frustrated about. Ty Lue looked to change it up a little bit in the second half tonight and trying to drop guys and be less aggressive. But, you know, doing that on the fly, I think, is always going to be a perilous outcome for you, just because guys are used to doing something one way. You're asking them to change at halftime, and it's not really gonna work out very well. But I'd like to see them come into a game with a little bit less aggressive of a defensive scheme, and I think that alone will probably help their defense, you know, 2-3 points per 100 possessions, just by getting guys back into kind of more traditional spaces.
You also mentioned the starting lineup change. I think that's something that it's worth speculating about, and I don't know exactly what the change would be. I think that they could go back to the Tristan Love duo, and they've hinted at that a little bit in some of the lineups they've used recently. But what would you, lineup wise, is there anything to you that stands out as potentially a fix that could at least make some sort of positive improvement?
Yeah, as you said, they went to that Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love iteration really quick tonight. I think it was in the seventh or eighth minute, after 4 or 5 minutes of the first quarter, taking out Jay Crowder and bringing in Tristan Thompson. Obviously, that's the one change they could make. And then the other change that they could potentially make, as David wrote about today for The Athletic, would be subbing in someone like Kyle Korver for J.R. Smith in the offensive and defensive, hopefully, improvements. So I guess that those would be the two potential lineup changes that they could look at making. It's tough for me just because of what the offense looks like right now in terms of wanting to bring in Tristan Thompson to start. I think that that's probably the best for them long term, just in terms of once Isaiah Thomas is really feeling like himself again. I think that Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup is probably necessary to combat the defensive weaknesses that Isaiah Thomas and Kevin Love together would have. But with the offense struggling, I'm not entirely sure that bringing in Tristan Thompson to the starting lineup right now is the move. And so maybe you do look to do something like David suggested and bring Kyle Korver into the starting group just to see if his shooting and his gravity can be an improvement on what J.R. Smith is bringing you right now. I do worry about the defensive downstream effects of that, but the Cavs have obviously been excellent with Kyle Korver on the floor this year, and with them really struggling to shoot the ball and with the open looks that Korver does get off of LeBron's passes, it might be worth a look. But then if that's not going to be your ultimate starting lineup, then you're obviously going to be tinkering even more going forward. So I do think that Ty Lue is in a pretty difficult situation, just in terms of probably needing to make an adjustment right now, but kind of being unsure as to what adjustment might be the right one.
I do think this roster is not exactly the most bendable roster in that regard. Like I don't think there are, they don't have, if you look at just how the Cavs are built compared to, I mean, even Toronto with this Toronto roster, with Boston, with Golden State, these teams that they're going to be compared against, right? They do not have, the moldable guys. Every guy they have sort of just has something they're good at. Korver's really good at his shooting. And I think you're right to point out the defensive issues. One of the reasons I think they like J.R. Smith is because they can put him on a point guard and feel at least okay about it. You couldn't do that with Korver, right? Like maybe that matters because you have Isaiah Thomas, and that's something Boston did to hide Isaiah, was to slide him around. Tristan's got his energy and his rebounding, and aside from your big three, what you have are sort of specialists in what they're supposed to do. And it doesn't help that some of them haven't performed. JR has not been good this year, except for a brief stretch. Crowder has been very up and down, and more down than up, especially of late. I think rebounding and 3-point shooting have really been, he's been bad in those areas. And that, I think that's particularly mattered when he started. And he's kind of the guy that I wonder, I agree with you on the Tristan stuff, but I just wonder if he comes off the bench, is he is not performed at the level in what he's been asked to do that I think has, that makes him perfect. I think he's been better at times than he's gotten credit for, but I also think if you look back at how the Cavs have succeeded when they have played smaller with LeBron, when he's not willing to crash the boards, they've needed that other guy to really rebound. Richard Jefferson did that great in the 16 finals. And I think for you to have success with that, Crowder has to rebound, and he's not rebounding well. He's having the worst, and last time I checked, he had the worst rebounding rate dating back to when he was 24. And that's bad. And he's not shooting well, and he's shooting much worse than he did last year, even though he might be, you would think he'd have an easier time because he's playing with LeBron. So these are complicated things. I don't envy Ty Lue's position at all right now. And I do think this team makes some sort of move, but I also don't know, unless they're willing to do something drastic, I don't know exactly how the complexion of this team changes in a meaningful way between now and the trade deadline, which is, about a month away at this point.
Right. And going into tonight, to validate what you said, Crowder is grabbing 9.8 of field goal defensive rebounds, so that doesn't include free throws. That ranks in the 14th percentile of all forwards and is essentially the worst of his career, seeing that in his age 24 season he only played 205 minutes for the Mavs when he had a 7.1 defensive rebound rate. So basically, as you say, he's rebounding at the worst rate of his career. And I do feel as if, the guy in Crowder's role kind of, I call it the Shane Battier role, just because that's really the guy who kind of unlocked a lot for LeBron playing that 3-4 iteration. If Crowder was doing what we kind of thought he might be able to do, I think that a lot of these problems would be mitigated. But, you know, as you say, with his struggle shooting, opposing teams will play centers on him if Kevin Love and he are starting at the 3 and 4 and 5 positions. And so that kind of mitigates all the effects of spacing that you would have if, you know, opposing centers were going to have to guard Kevin Love and he's going to be able to roast them on the perimeter. And on the defensive end, if LeBron isn't crashing the glass, which he really seems to have kind of gone away from in last month and a half or so, as his steals have ticked up, I think that his blocks and rebounds have both kind of ticked down. It seems as if he's kind of more willing to play on the perimeter right now than really be a rim protector or a defensive rebounder. Only 3 rebounds tonight. As I said, the Cavs got absolutely slaughtered on the glass. And I think that, you know, LeBron not being that secondary rebounder in some of those lineups is really an issue, because Crowder, as you say, you know, he's only, what, like 6'5", maybe. And so he's really never going to be a guy that's going to give you a ton of rebounding. And, you know, on top of that, this is his worst year rebounding, as we talked about. So that's going to be a struggle. So, you know, if you think that rebounding is really a huge issue, then you probably do want Tristan Thompson out there. But, you know, at the same point in time, you're definitely sacrificing something offensively, even with Thompson for Crowder, because, you know, Tristan Thompson on the floor, the Cavs have an 89 offensive rating in the half court. With him off the floor, they have 103 offensive rating in the half court. And so even though he does get offensive rebounds, and those are only counted as one singular possession, he's not making the offense more efficient with those plays. So as you said, the Cavs are somewhat pigeonholed just because of a lot of their players end up being these kind of one skill or one trick pony guys. And it's just kind of difficult to fit them together as puzzle pieces into an iteration that's going to be successful for the long term.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how they adjust and how they sort of figure a lot of this out. I don't know. I really have no idea how some of this works, and I think some of it just has to be some of these guys have to play better. And I know that's like a very simple thing, and it just kind of goes like, duh, like of course they have to play better. But I think they have to just get better production out of all these guys. And you know, it is January. I mean, there's still like a lot of ish time for them to figure it out. But I do think this with this different group, I've been wrestling with this in my head. I think just we'll kind of wrap it up on this, but I think the thing with this group is it's, yes, they have LeBron, and I think that they should still be the team you assume comes out of these. But I think just with how these other teams are playing, and they've been good, and with this new personnel, I think we have to just kind of wonder what this team does look like, because I don't think we know. I think this is a different team to some degree because of they're playing smaller, they're not as quite as good from three. There's all these, Kyrie isn't, you know, Isaiah is not Kyrie. There's these differences. JR's not playing well. There's all these little differences that add up to me that this is a different team, and the end result might still be the same, but I do think we have, I personally believe that this team's going to end up looking different than the Cavs teams we've seen the last three seasons.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because there are, you know, a lot of people who like to kind of make this a non-issue in the fact that past performance is somehow a predictor of future performance. But you know, as you say, and as is obvious, this is a completely different team. It's playing a completely different way with different personnel. There's not a ton of turnover. Obviously you still have LeBron, you still have Kevin Love, but a lot of the parts are different. And so by assuming that, you know, the past and what's happened with, you know, different Cavs teams getting to the finals is going to somehow predict what's going to happen to this Cavs team going forward, I think that that's kind of reducing the issue more than it should be. And that's not to say that the Cavs aren't going to make the finals, or we shouldn't believe them to make the finals or whatever. But I just think that you have to be willing to have these conversations a bit more than I think people are willing to right now, because this isn't the same team. It isn't the same personnel. And there's a lot of moving parts right now that need to be figured out before you can kind of be confident that this is a team that's going to perform, you know, when push comes to shove, especially because the Raptors are probably playing basketball that they've ever played in the LeBron era. And Boston obviously has the best defense in the NBA, and that neither of those were the case last year as well.
It's a very good point, and Boston is, I think, and Toronto both now have wins over the Cavs that are pretty bludgeoning, and I do think the Cavs do have something to prove. I think that's an uncomfortable thought in some ways for if you're a fan of this team, but I do think that there is something different with this team, and we need to see something. It's not just on LeBron. He's maybe having the best year he's ever had since he's come back, but that's the case. Before we get out of here, just a couple of things Cavs fans should know. LeBron kind of said it's up to the kids when he's going to retire. He says he's too many secrets to sell for Nike as well, so for whatever that means. He's now leading Giannis onto the Kumpo in All-Star voting. Ty Lue says the Cavs are a better foul-shooting team because LeBron has improved at it. And Ante Zizic looks like he's going to spend a lot of time with the Canton Charge moving forward, which I think is a good thing. And you'll hear updates on how he's doing down in Canton in the coming weeks on this podcast and at FearTheSword.com as well. But Mike Zavgano has been the guest. You can find him on Twitter at MZavgano11. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I always appreciate it.
And everyone, we'll be back Saturday morning. A recap of Cavs Pacers. We'll see how the Cavs look in Indiana, second half of a back-to-back. Read Mike's piece on back-to-backs up at FearTheSword.com right now on Friday, January 12th. Have a good one.